Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Science Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. Thank you for joining me this week as we talk about the coming Holy Week. And we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. And specifically, I'm going to talk about topics that may not traditionally be mentioned on Palm Sunday. For instance, you know how in the news that there's talking about an eclipse that's coming up. Well, that's relevant, actually, to this upcoming week. And so we're going to talk about the eclipse and what that means and some of the history about that, but also just some of the lessons that we learn from the Passion of our Lord and how it all led up from Palm Sunday and with Good Friday. And so we're going to unlock some of those mysteries and secrets when we talk today on this program. But before we go any further, let us pray the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus Christ gave us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Well, I hope you all have been having a blessed Lent. We finished up the fifth week of Lent here, and we're in the first few days of spring. Spring started on St. Joseph's feast day on March 19th, and here we are on the 21st of March, and we are going to get into the Palm Sunday. And before we do that, as far as going over the readings, there's a lot of readings, and I'm just going to choose some select readings and highlight some of the meanings or lessons from there. But as what we normally do on this program is also talk about some of the quotes from the saints. So this first segment of this program is going to talk about the wisdom of the saints. And so one of the quotes that I'm going to talk about here is from Saint Charbel Malkuth, and it's about true success. And this is from March 18th. Again, this is from a book called The Wisdom of the Saints, 365 Days of Inspiration from DynamicCatholic.com. Be bold, be Catholic. And it's from Matthew Kelly's apostolate. And the quote from St. Charbel is, success in life consists of standing without shame before God. Success in life consists of standing without shame before God. And so this is the topic where how can we consider ourselves success? Do we consider ourselves successful? Or what Mother Teresa would say is, are we really faithful, right? We're not here on this world to be successful, but to be faithful. And so when it comes down to it, if we're faithful to God, that we are following him by being obedient and loving him, we will be able to stand without shame before him because we would be in grace. All right, let me go on to another quote for March 20th, and this is about St. Padre Pio's view about society. He says, today's society does not pray. That is why it is falling apart. Again, that's from St. Padre Pio. Remember, he died in the year 1968, so he's relatively within our generation or age here. So, and he says that today's society does not pray. That is why it is falling apart. And this ties in, actually, with Jesus' passion when it starts from the Last Supper and it goes into the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays. And so we, too, should also pray in the most difficult times in our life, like Jesus did, but also to thank him whether we have things in our life that are good or bad. And remember that famous quote that Padre Pio says. He says, pray, hope, and don't worry. So this is part of his solution for society, is that if we pray, then society won't fall apart. But he said, since society doesn't pray, that's why it's falling apart. And we should start with ourselves and then start with our spouses and our families. And when we get that in order, then that would change from, you know, household to household, to neighborhoods, to towns, to cities, to states and countries. All right, let's go to another quote here. And this is from St. Elizabeth of Hungary, and it's regarding Jesus' sufferings. And this is from March 22nd. It says, how could I bear a crown of gold when the Lord bears a crown of thorns and bears it for me? How could I bear a crown of gold when the Lord bears a crown of thorns and bears it for me? So this calls to mind, you know, there may be that saying that you might have heard, no pain, no gain, or the other saying, no guts, no glory, and cross, no crown. So we all have to go through certain pain before there's a gain. We have to have certain kind of courage or guts before there's any glory. We have to carry our cross before we get that crown. And so the question here that St. Elizabeth of Hungary says is, how can I bear a crown of gold when the Lord bears a crown of thorns and bears it for me? So in other words, we got to do our part. We have to carry our cross like Jesus, even unto death. And when we do that lovingly and with obedience, that we too can receive that crown of glory, and the Lord will be able to help us with grace to carry that cross. All right, and let me go off to one more quote, and this is for March 24th, which is actually Palm Sunday, but this quote is regarding the rosary from St. Louis de Montfort. And by the way, he's one of my favorite saints, and some of you may know that I give talks on one of his books called The Secret of the Rosary. And so if you're interested in hearing that talk, because I bet you many of you may have that book called The Secret of the Rosary, but may not have read it. So I give a presentation and about 45 minutes to an hour long at various parishes and elsewhere. So if you're interested, please let us know. Just contact Ensign Catholic Radio Network and see if you can get a hold of me through them. Anyway, here's a quote from St. Louis de Montfort regarding the rosary. It says, even if you are on the brink of damnation, even if you have one foot in hell, even if you have sold your soul to the devil, as sorcerers do who practice black magic, and even if you are a heretic as obstinate as a devil, sooner or later, you will be converted and will amend your life and will save your soul if, and mark well what I say, if you say the Holy Rosary devoutly every day until death for the purpose of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon for your sins. So here St. Louis de Montfort lays out that you could be as bad as a sorcerer or stubborn or have one foot in hell or sold your soul or do black magic, that sooner or later, if you are actually praying the rosary, you know, and you do so, you know, that you want to change your life and save your soul, that if you do so for the sake of knowing the truth and asking forgiveness of your sins and being sorry for them, you will be able to go to heaven. And so this is where how the rosary can save many people from the brink of hell or damnation. All right. Well, you know, I started off this program talking about a little teaser there about the eclipse. I don't know if you've heard this. On April 8th, that's a Monday, that there's supposed to be a total solar eclipse that is going to happen and cross America. And it's going to cross from the southwest, like in Mexico, and go across Texas, through Arkansas and other states here. And it's going to go, you know, through parts of Missouri, Tennessee, Virginia, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, cut through the northwest part of Pennsylvania, and then upper New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. I'm looking at the map here, and then also goes through Canada. And what's also coincidental when this happens, it's on the feast day or the Annunciation of our Lord. So due to the way the calendar is, the Annunciation of the Lord falls on this Monday of April 8th. And that Monday is actually the day after Divine Mercy Sunday. So it's interesting that, at least from my perspective, that there is the Annunciation of the Lord, which is Monday, coming right after Divine Mercy Sunday. And here is this total solar eclipse that will happen for about an hour. And what's unique is that this is the eighth solar eclipse, from what I understand, to occur on the United States. And it doesn't happen that often. In fact, from what I saw on some YouTube videos, you can look this up too, that the seven prior solar eclipses occurred, two of them occurred during the Revolutionary War, and then three more occurred during the Civil War, and then two more occurred during the Vietnam War. And at least one more on the Vietnam War. There was another solar eclipse that happened in the year 2017 that went across the United States, and it started from the northwest, meaning from Washington State and Seattle, cutting diagonally across towards South Carolina. And that was in 2017. And now we're in 2024. And this total solar eclipse is going the other way. Instead of going downward diagonally, this is going upward diagonally from Mexico all the way across to Maine. And if you look at the map, it actually makes an X right across the United States. And when it makes this cross, a crisscross or an X, that the center of it is over the tip of Illinois. And there, it crosses also parts of Missouri and maybe a little part of Kentucky. What's interesting about this is the first eclipse that happened back in 2017 in August, I think August 21st, it went over cities that were named Salem. And that was the original name of Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. And this pathway for the total solar eclipse is going to start around Mexico, but it's going to, when it goes into Texas, it'll cross over a city named Jonah, and then it's going to go across eight more cities called Nineveh. And the name of these cities are called Nineveh, Texas, Nineveh, Missouri, Nineveh, Indiana, Nineveh, Ohio, Nineveh, Pennsylvania, Nineveh, Virginia, Nineveh, New York, Nineveh, Nova Scotia, that's in Canada. it's like boggles one's mind to think, like, of all the places that it's crossing over, it's going to cross on or near towns or townships called Nineveh, and it's going to start near a city called Jonah. And it makes this pathway of an X, or if you take the Hebrew letter, they call it a tau. Tau meaning like the letter, a tav, I should say. But it's like the letter T. And so, which has different meanings, like that means like the end of something. And when something ends, there's also the beginning of something. And so I find it very interesting that Divine Mercy Sunday ends on Divine Mercy Sunday, which would be April 7th. And then the beginning is the Annunciation of the Lord, April 8th, when this eclipse, total solar eclipse, occurs. And so it just seems really strange that the eclipses that came on America, where it was a total solar eclipse, and only that went on the continent or the country of America, it happened when there was war. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be war to America on this day. I'm just saying what other people have noticed, that the two eclipses that occurred, total eclipse that went over America, it was during, or North America, I should say, during the Revolutionary War, and then three more when it was the Civil War, and then one more on Vietnam, and then we have another one here in 2017 that occurred, and, you know, and then now we're having another one, making an X or a letter T, or you can look at it as the Hebrew letter Tav. So why do I mention this? Because if you recall, when Jesus died on the cross, there was an eclipse. And there was definitely spiritual warfare going on there, right, between good and evil, where you know that the devil wants Jesus to die, but he doesn't realize that Jesus has the power to raise himself up, and that he actually, like, if you recall, like the movie where when Jesus dies on the cross, you can see from above Jesus that it looks like a raindrop falling from the heavens and tumbling down, falling down towards earth. And from what I understand, that symbolizes like the tear from God the Father. And it hits the ground, and when it does, it's like there's an earthquake, and then you see that androgynous person that looks like the devil screaming and yelling, and looks like as if he lost or you know, he was upset or angry. And so you could see that Jesus, by dying on the cross, he pays for our sins, and he redeems us, so we have the ability to go to heaven. And so this is something that I just wanted to make sure that you know about regarding the eclipse, because in one sense, when we have eclipses, when, you know, God, when Jesus says himself that he makes signs, he gives us signs through the sun and the moon, that here we are having some an eclipse happening. And so I'm just wondering, is there a sign that we're supposed to get from this, just like the eclipse that happened when Jesus died on the cross? Now, when he died on the cross, it was interesting, besides, of course, Jesus dying, how nature itself, how there was an earthquake and there was an eclipse, and how there was actually two eclipses. One was by nature itself, right, where temporarily there was darkness, but also there was the temporary eclipse of the sun, God's own sun being eclipsed, right, when he dies, but then later on he rises on Easter Sunday, and whereas the eclipse there on that Friday was just only temporary. And so here we're going to be having an eclipse that's what's going to last about an hour on Monday, April the 8th. And in fact, what's strange is there are different preparations that people are making. Even the government are making preparations for a lot of people supposedly going to these areas. So I think in Oklahoma or in Texas, the different parts of the local government, or I think it's maybe even FEMA, are giving advice to people to make sure that they have necessary supplies for this one-hour eclipse, but more so because there's going to be a massive amount of people that want to see this happening, because it doesn't happen that often, as I said, that there are eclipses that can happen maybe one or twice, or four times in a year. But as far as I understand it, it doesn't go over the United States like it does, like it will this coming April the 8th. So keep in mind that's going to pass over towns called Nineveh, and it starts in Jonah. So if you look at that as just even a symbolic message, we're, you know, finishing Lent here, and that we want to make sure, are we repenting? Remember when we started Lent, it started that with two Bible verses where we would have Ash Wednesday. Remember how we'd have the ashes put on us, and the deacon or the priest could choose one or the other, and one could be, remember, man, you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Or the other one is to repent and believe in the gospel. So are we repenting, or have we repented? Do we believe in the gospel? Do we believe that Jesus Christ, what he said, that the time is fulfilled, that the kingdom of God is at hand? It is here. And so what are we doing with Jesus the King and his kingdom? Do we have him in our heart? Since our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, do we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords reigning in our interiors, heart, and soul? And also, do we have him reigning in our own home? Do we also have him reigning in our parish, in our town, in our city? If not, then we should help build this kingdom of God, because that's how it started off when Jesus started to preach. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And so these were the first words that Jesus was saying regarding the gospel, even before he chose his apostles. And so all this ties in to now we're coming to Holy Week. And we start off with all these readings on Palm Sunday, and it gets to be really long, but there are so many messages that I just want to share with Holy Week itself. Like, for instance, one big message that I want to share is that God loves us so much that we all know that famous passage that he knows even the amount of hairs on our head. Well, let's get to the practical level, right? Some people may think, well, how great is that? You know, yes, he may know the number of hairs on our head, or what if a person's bald? It's easy for him, you know, to say that's zero or whatever. But to get serious and practical, if we look at the readings for the gospel, especially the one when there's the procession, when the priest will come in to the church, and we're going to be waving our palms. And so what I wanted to do is to just highlight one part before we – well, actually, let me just see if I can read a little part of it. And it said here – it said that – this is from Mark chapter 11, and it says, when Jesus and his disciples drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately upon entering it, you will find a colt tethered on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone should say to you, why are you doing this? Reply, the master has need of it, and will send it back here at once. So they went off and found a colt tethered at a gate outside on the street, and they untied it. Some of the bystanders said to them, what are you doing untying the colt? They answered them just as Jesus had told them, and they permitted them to do it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and put their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches, those were the palms, that they cut from the fields. Those preceding him, as well as those following, kept crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father, David, that is to come. Hosanna in the highest. So I'm mentioning this because sometimes people come late to Mass. And remember, you don't want to come late to Mass. As far as I understand it, that when people come late to Mass, that's a venial sin. And so, you know, when you go to Mass, you want to ask for those venial sins to be forgiven, especially like when they do the Confiteor, where we say, I confess to Almighty God and you, my brothers and sisters, that I have sinned. And that part, when we say those prayers, that's when you're specifically asking forgiveness for your venial sins. So, don't go to Mass late, and especially for this with the palms, where this gospel is going to be read. And why I read this is to highlight the point that for these two apostles, Jesus had predicted what will happen to them, that they will be questioned. But Jesus paid attention to the details and that he provided them with a solution and an answer. So when they're confronted with people, they would be able to do God's will and bring back the colt to Jesus. Because some people will think, wait, that's not your colt. You're stealing that. They didn't say that. They asked the question, that what are you doing untying the colt? They didn't do any rash judgment. And Jesus gave them the answer and told them to say that the master have need of it and will send it back here at once. And so this is just a little sample of how Jesus knows every detail of what we are doing, but also provides a way to help us if we are doing his will and trying to love God and love neighbor. And so there's other examples that I want to go into, but we're at the bottom of the hour now. And so we're just going to take a little break, and then we're to continue on similarly to what I'm doing now, is reading parts of the gospel and then going over some of the lessons that we can take home with us. So let's take a break, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or a friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns on In His Sign Catholic Radio. Thank you for continuing to join me today. If some of you are just joining me right now at the bottom of the hour, you just missed some of the talk that we just were discussing about the upcoming eclipse on April 8th. And how that's going to go across the United States from the southwest, from Texas all the way up through Maine. It's going to start off near a town called Jonah, and it's going to go over eight cities called Nineveh. And that this is like a message to us during our Lenten season that we too should repent, and that it's going to happen on April 8th, Monday, which is the Annunciation of the Lord. And there was a prior solar eclipse, that total solar eclipse, back in 2017 that also went over the United States. And it formed an X or a letter T, if you will, or in Hebrew it's called the Tav. So with the middle of the X going over the tip or the bottom tip of Illinois. And so we should just make sure that, as symbolically, just like Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh, that we too should, as a country, and also if not in your own soul, your own family, your own household, repent and turn back to the Lord and to remember that we are dust and that dust we shall return, and that we should repent and believe in the gospel. And so let's go on now. I was trying to show how Jesus takes care of us to the point of knowing the details of, like, when he sent his two disciples to go into the village and get a colt that was tethered, and no one ever used it before. And he actually gave them the answers to any question for them taking this colt, because they didn't ask anybody. There wasn't there anybody to ask from. And so people could mistakenly think they're doing something wrong or possibly even stealing it. So the Lord gave them the answer that the master has need of it and that they're going to send it back here at once. And they found it just like the Lord had said it. So one important lesson is that the Lord, he is somebody that will provide for us, even in such details. Even if you're just going to prepare, let's say, an Easter dinner or Easter, Sunday get-together with your family or a big party, that don't think it's too trivial to have and ask the Lord for help, whether it's an Easter dinner or if it's a birthday party or just any little thing. Any other thing that you may think is too little for the Lord, he will help you. He will help you in all things, and he will do so not only with the little things, but the big things, and he'll help you with the means and as well as the way it ends. And so it ended well that Jesus got to use that colt, and that colt was never used before. And the message also about the colt is that Jesus is the greatest king of all. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, but he was unlike all the other great kings of the past, who when they conquered places, that they would show their success or their power by riding on large horses and have big parades. to show their glory and their power. Whereas Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he comes on the colt of an ass. In other words, a baby donkey. He doesn't come in some big white steed or some chariot. He comes on a baby donkey with humility. And that humility is out of love. And that he accepts his crown of thorns and his scarlet robe and you know, all this pain and suffering for our sake. And so what he shows is not strength, but he shows a strength under control, which is called meekness. So meekness is not weakness, but it is strength under control. He shows humility, kindness, and even suffering to the point of death for us who he loves. And so the other thing that I wanted to point out, I was reading a commentary that Jesus chose the colt or this jackass as a lesson for us humans. Because according to Peter Kreeft, one of my favorite Catholic philosophers, he says the church, now this is Peter Kreeft, not me, he says the church is full of jackasses. And he says, you don't have to go to the zoo to see one. You just look in the mirror. And I'm talking about myself now, but that's what Peter Kreeft was quoting here, is that God uses jackasses just like this animal to show his glory. And so we can even see this in the Old Testament. Remember Samson, right? What did he do? How did he fight off the hundreds, if not thousands, of men? He fought them off with the jawbone of an ass. He used the jawbone of an ass to slay people and bat them with it, right? So here, Jesus uses the two disciples to go get this jackass, and he, Jesus himself, rides on the jackass, on the baby donkey, and humiliates himself riding into Jerusalem, whereas the other kings would ride on whatever large animal or horse or whatever chariot to show their military power or their political power or the economic power. But here, Jesus is not here to show political power or financial prowess or his military conquest. He's showing his love for his people. And what do the people do in response? They make a sort of a red carpet for him, don't they? They use the palm branches and lay it on the ground, and they put their own cloaks on the donkey so Jesus could use it as a saddle. So these people, out of love for Jesus, gave what they had. So literally, they gave the clothes off their back, the coats, and put it on the donkey for Jesus to use as a saddle, or they used the palm branches and made essentially a carpet, like a green carpet, or you know, analogous to a red carpet, for Jesus to come in. And this is where they show their humility to the Lord about how they were giving what they had. And this is a sort of prayer from the people. And so when at the beginning of Mass, when we go in there, try to have that image. What are you giving the Lord when our priest is coming in who is representing Jesus in persona Christi, where we're recalling in the gospel this image of Jesus coming triumphantly and prophetically into Jerusalem? And what are we doing? Are we giving our heart, our mind, our body and soul to Jesus? We may not be putting something on the donkey for him to saddle on, or we may not physically put palm trees there, but give your heart and soul to our Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be everything. And that the fact that he can take animals such as a jackass or the jawbone of an ass that Samson used, and he can use us, those of us who make fools of ourselves, right? Just like St. Paul says that he is a fool for Christ, that he can take fools like ourselves and bring glory to us because we are showing love and honor to the King of Kings, the King of Glory, which is none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? This is where we need to take pride in our Lord for dying for us, because he gave himself totally. And so whatever you are suffering with, whatever despair you may be feeling, whatever inadequacies you may have, or you may have problems with your self-esteem, or you may be anxious or depressed, or you may be without a job, or you may have problems with your spouse, or you're looking to find a spouse, or you're having a problem with your girlfriend or boyfriend or your fiance, or you're undergoing a divorce, or your job is in danger, or your finances are problematic, or you may lose your house. All these things, give them to the Lord, and he will work things out even to the very last detail. And the caveat is, though, are you doing this for God, for the love of God? Are you trying to do things for love of him? Because if you're doing his will, he will grant you what you need, as long as it's within his will and as long as it helps you get closer to him. In other words, get sanctified, that you will stay in grace and get closer to him. So continue to keep praying, because this is very important, that these people were praising God and thanking God as Jesus came into Jerusalem. The other thing was I wanted to mention is that the apostles and the various people did not understand Jesus when he would speak this way, but they didn't. When they said, you know, blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is to come, but they didn't realize that Jesus started off his ministry 3 years prior by saying the kingdom is at hand, the time is fulfilled, it's here, and yet the people were still waiting for some military king, somebody that would rule Jerusalem from the throne there and get rid of their enemies. But they were thinking in terms of political power versus Jesus came to defeat evil and to reign in our hearts and also reign in our minds and reign in our families and in the world, but not as military power. And he came this way by being on a donkey and showing his humility and love for us. The other thing was, it's also interesting when the people who tried to show their love and praises to God, that 5 days later on Good Friday, that some of them were the same ones who praised them on Palm Sunday on Good Friday now were the same ones that were yelling out and crying out, crucify him. So what this also shows how we humans are so fickle. We, at a moment's notice, we can give a smiling face and, you know, pat on the back and praise somebody. But if they cross us in any way, all of a sudden we'll raise our voice, yell at them, and we're like a different person. It's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's like somebody we don't know. And this is what happens to us. And this is where we have to also wonder, like, who are the ones that changed their minds? And if you think about it, it was some of the troublemakers or some of the people going around, you know, saying that they should, you know, release Barabbas, right? So you actually have both church and state made the people turn against Jesus and make the people turn against God himself. So in a sense, the people were persuaded by demagogues. Right, that we're not talking about like charismatic speakers like Hitler, but what I'm talking about is social media. We could be we could be moved and swayed by misinformation from the media or different, you know, political parties. So in one sense, I was reading Peter Kraft, and he said, don't trust the elephant or the donkey. He said, trust the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So many of us, we may be glued to the TV or social media or YouTube or wherever you get your news, you know, X or wherever, Rumble or however you might find it, and maybe really intrigued about what's going on with the election cycle and what's going on with the Supreme Court or the Senate and House of Representatives. Well, in one sense, this is very true what Peter Kraft is saying in his commentaries, that he says, don't trust the elephant or the donkey. Trust the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. So this is where we look to Jesus. He is our Savior. There's not going to be any president. There's not going to be any human besides Jesus, who is true God and true man, who will be able to take away the sins of the world and save us and go and make it to heaven. Yes, he deputized men as priests who can help forgive us of our sins, but the power came from God Almighty. And so this is where we have to be able to put our trust in Jesus, and that he is the one that will save us. And so we should not be like the fickle crowd. We should be loyal to Jesus. Look at the different women at the foot of the cross in St. John. There was the Blessed Mother, there was Mary Magdalene, and there was Mary Cleophas. She is the mother of the younger James and Joseph. And then there was Salome there, and then St. John. These were the ones who were loyal to the Lord, that they were there at the foot of the cross. Let us be those kinds of followers and disciples and the holy women who stay with Jesus through thick and thin. They were risking their lives by being there. So let me add to this, where, you know, on the Stations of the Cross, where the eighth station, where Jesus is talking to the holy women, he's consoling them. And when he does so, he consoles them and he gives his longest response or remark. He actually says, I think, four different sentences to the women and consoles them. And part of the reason is he sees that those holy women, because they were wailing and crying and interacting with the Lord, according to Roman law, that is illegal for them to do so, to the point where they could be arrested and punished for crying or interacting with Jesus in such a close manner. So we know that Our Lady first approached Jesus in the fourth station. So in the same sense, I would guess that she too was risking her life, whereas Simon the Cyrenian was compelled to help Jesus carry his cross. And then look at Veronica, where she wants to wipe the face of Jesus. She too, I would imagine, are also putting her life in danger for interacting with a condemned criminal. And so for us, you think about it, when the priest comes in the beginning of Mass and we're waving our palm branches, imagine, would you risk your life? Would you step out there and try to talk to Jesus, give him a drink of water, wipe his face, help carry his cross? Would you follow him on the Via Dolorosa, the way of the cross, to the point of going on Mount Calvary, to the point of being around the foot of the cross, just like the Blessed Mother, Mary Magdalene, Mary of Cleopas, also known as Mary of Alpheus. She's the same mother of James the Younger and Joseph. These were people that were confused to be the brothers of Jesus, but they're actually the children of Mary of Cleopas. And so it actually says there in Scripture, this Mary is the Mary who is the mother of the younger James and Joseph. And then what about Salome was there too in St. John? Are you willing to do that symbolically right now during this Holy Week, during the and recalling all of this, that you can unite your heart and soul to Jesus and to say how much you love him for enduring all this pain and suffering? This was also reminds me of the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, when Jesus was praying there, he was praying and he was so distressed that he started to sweat blood. In the medical terminology is called hematohidrosis. Hemato means the blood. Hydrosis is like the water or the sweat. So he had sweated blood. Literally, he was in such an anxious or such a stressful state that the capillaries in his skin had so much pressure that they bursted open and he was bleeding blood from his pores. And this phenomenon happens with other people. But with Jesus, it just shows how in his humanness, he was so distressed that his body reacted in this way. He even fell down. He needed help from an angel to be consoled as well. And part of this, you wonder, is because Jesus is also fully human, fully God, that part of the distress can be from knowing that even though he does this, people will still choose to sin and sin repeatedly against him, even though he freely died for us so he could pay for our sins, and therefore we can go to heaven when he opens up the gate. But people refuse this, and that could cause so much agony for him. Just imagine you as a parent or a grandparent helping your children or your grandchildren, and you offer them different types of help, but they refuse you, or they even say things worse by choosing words that will hurt you by saying that I don't love you, I don't want to speak to you, I don't want to be near you, you know, I want you out of my life. Imagine that kind of pain, and I hope you don't have that or experience that. Well, imagine Jesus Christ now having those same responses, because he knows what happens in the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. And when he sees all this, he still willingly accepts to die for people, knowing there are going to be people who will reject him nevertheless. And so this is something that we all have to consider, especially during these readings and the Gospels for Passion Sunday, because there's just so much that I cannot, you know, read all of this. I mean, it's a long Gospel that I just wanted to pick out a few of these here. And so the other part that I wanted to mention is, you know, this Simon of Cyrene, you know, he was a passerby, and he was coming in from another country. And they mentioned that he was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And if you look them up, from what I understand, Alexander and Rufus, his sons, later on and became disciples. And this Simon, though, you know, he was conscripted. He was compelled to carry the cross. And it's very interesting in how he was depicted in the Passion of the Cross, how at first, he didn't want to carry the cross. He didn't want to be associated with a condemned criminal, Jesus. Well, we know Jesus wasn't a criminal. He did nothing wrong, but again, he was accused of that. And so he, in the movie Passion of the Christ, if you recall, that this Simon of Cyrene was trying to tell people that, you know, that he doesn't know him, and he, you know, he didn't do anything wrong, and that, that he's being forced to carry this. And so why I'm bringing this up is because at the end of his carrying the cross, or actually I say in the middle, he actually starts to take pity on Jesus and starts to defend Jesus and starts to encourage Jesus, to the point where he's telling people, the Romans, to stop what they're doing and abusing Jesus. And then he encourages Jesus to say that they're almost there, and he carries the most of the load of the cross. If you recall, the cross is very heavy. If I remember correctly, it supposedly is about, the cross beam is about 100 or 150 pounds. Imagine carrying that when Jesus didn't get any sleep. He didn't get anything to eat in the morning, right? He was tortured and whipped. He lost a lot of blood. He was in shock, lacking fluids and losing blood. And he had to carry that, versus if somebody else is muscular and had something to eat and decided to lift 100 or 100 pounds, they could do so, but try to carry that for a certain amount of distance. That's still going to be tough for a regular, for a guy who ate and is ready to carry, weights of 100 pounds and not even suffering or bleeding from any kind of wounds, where this is what Jesus did. Where now Simon the Cyrene, at the end of that journey, he doesn't even want to leave Jesus anymore. He has to be peeled off by the Romans before he actually leaves Jesus. And I wanted to bring this up because many of us, when we're given a cross in our lives, don't want the cross. And that's natural. But Jesus does say that those who will follow him must carry their cross. And when you do so, that when you carry it patiently, you will see in the middle of your carrying your cross, whatever burden you have, whether it's, a mental illness, physical or emotional illness, whether you have, again, problems financial or with relationships, that God will console you during the middle of your time carrying the cross. And at the end, you will find yourself also not only defending Jesus, but wanting to stay with him. In fact, cherishing that cross that you are able to bear. So just offer the cross that you carry, whether in your sickness or your sufferings or your pains, if you offer it with Jesus, that you do it for Jesus' sake and for love of him, that God will reward you and give you that glory and to be able to be with him in heaven and experience some consolation here on earth. And so I thank you all for spending time with me this week. This was a little bit different approach to this hour-long talk here or radio show. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you have a great Holy Week and a blessed Easter. And keep praying and carry your cross with love for our Lord, and try to make it to confession if you haven't done so already. God bless you all, and I hope you join me after Holy Week, which will be in 2 weeks from now when we come back on WTMR 800 AM on In His Sign Catholic Radio. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo signing off. God bless you all.